Thank you, Brad. Thank you, Jeannie. Conference attendees, members of the ASTDA, friends, guests, and in particular, the Hansfield family, I welcome you here. And for those of you who are not aware of it, here in the front row, we have a multi-generational representation of the Hansfield family, going from Hunter's parents to his lovely wife Patricia, to his daughter Laura, and to his grandson Evan. It's with great pleasure that I have the opportunity to introduce Hunter to talk about how he set him up for his Thomas Perrin Awards lecture. I think many of you who've been to these lectures before have seen this sort of picture, the Thomas Perrin on the cover of Time magazine, something that, to my knowledge, no other STD researcher or prevention expert has ever achieved, and someone who has shaped what we do. Thomas Perrin was the Commissioner of Health in New York State, and then he went on to be the Surgeon General of the United States. He authored a book called Shadow on the Land, in which he outlined his own formula for STD control, specifically involved with syphilis control, and which remains the mainstay for virtually every STD control effort which has gone on since this time. It's been applied and slightly changed in terms of issues related to gonorrhea, chlamydia, and HIV. The award in Dr. Perrin's award this year goes to Hunter Hansfield. Hunter is a friend, a colleague, and a coworker who I've known throughout my career in this field. As I was thinking about how to introduce Hunter, it occurred to me that the ASTDA, of which I am a proud member and have been an officer in the past, typically gives this award for three different elements: for scientific achievement, for their educational activities and mentoring, and for service. But I think more often than not, the thing that goes to the fore in this is our emphasis on scientific achievement research work. It's interesting to reflect on that, in that Dr. Perrin's achievements and his recognition is based on his service to public health. And so Dr. Hansfield's receipt of this award for his many contributions to STD control really brings us full circle, because Dr. Hansfield's career has been throughout engaged and intricately interwoven with issues related to service and improving public health and care for patients with and at risk for STDs. So I'd like to tell those of you who don't know him or only know part of all that Hunter brings to the fore, a little bit about Hunter. And following in the tradition, we'll start with the issues of scientific achievement. Dr. Hansfield has authored over 150 peer-reviewed publications. He's authored books. He's been a presence on many committees and activities. And these contributions started early in Dr. Hansfield's career. And his contributions, in some ways, are lasting in a way that many of us only aspire to do. Disseminated gonococcal infection, or the gonococcal arthritis syndrome, was described early by Dr. Hansfield and co-workers early in his career, and his papers and his work on the diagnosis and treatment of this important syndrome remain the hallmarks for which everybody goes to when they want to learn and understand more about this disease. Similarly, early in this career, Dr. Hansfield published this paper on asymptomatic gonococcal infections in men. And this still, again, represents the single best definitive paper on this subject, for which virtually all that we currently know about the presence, the prevalence, and the natural history of asymptomatic gonococcal infection in men comes from this paper. This paper is also a testimony to Dr. Hansfield's remarkable persuasiveness, because in the context of doing this research, he went and approached over 2,600 military recruits and persuaded. I'm not sure persuasion and military recruits often go in the same sentence, and perhaps it didn't here, but he got 2,600 military recruits to stand still long enough to have urethral swabs for diagnosis of asymptomatic pneumococcal infection. And those of you who work regularly in clinics know that that's no small task. But this, again, was another important contribution. Dr. Hansfield's contributions have continued in the 1970s, working with another group of colleagues from Seattle, Washington. He described the emergence and the epidemiology of PPNG, gonococcal infections, which for the first time had been resistant to the antibiotic that had previously been used as the therapy of choice for this infection for nearly 35 years, and represented the first step in the sort of bellwether cry that the days of penicillin for treating gonorrhea were over, and that it was time to move on to new therapies. More recently, then Dr. Hansfield and his efforts to describe new therapies for gonorrhea took us forward and recognized the potential of cefixime, an orally available third-generation cephalosporin, to be equivalent to ceftriaxone for treatment of gonococcal infections. Again, this paper led to changes in the STD treatment guidelines and introduced yet another milestone and sea change in the way we approached gonorrhea treatment in this country. More recently, Dr. Hansfield has also published on the issues of expedited partner treatment, something that has been a major topic in this meeting and in our field for the last at least 5 or 6 years, regarding efforts on how to approach one of the Achilles heels of STD control, that is, engagement and getting treatment for persons who've been exposed and may be infected as partners to individuals with gonococcal infections. Dr. Hansfield's contributions are numerous. I showed some of what I thought were his more important papers, and certainly the ones that all of us wish that we'd had that appeared in august journals like the New England Journal of Medicine or the Annals of Internal Medicine. But his contributions go far beyond that. He really was on the leading edge regarding selective screening for chlamydia infections as we began to organize and develop public health approaches designed to help control chlamydia. He was on the front edge again in describing the importance of sexual transmission of cytomegalovirus as an STD, something that had not been done before. The disease was thought of as an infection that was really a disease of childhood. Throughout his career, he's led clinical trials, both single-center and multi-center trials, which have provided us with alternative therapies for treatment of gonorrhea, chlamydia, and syphilis. And those sorts of studies, again, continue to have impact for every one of us who take care of patients through the impact on their STD treatment guidelines. He and I had the pleasure of working with him on this, played a central role in reminding us of the importance of central nervous system involvement in patients with early syphilis, a contentious and continually hotly debated area even as we speak now. So in virtually every aspect of what we do with regard to approaches and treatment of patients with and at risk for STDs, Dr. Hansfield has had impact through his research. Or for those of you who know Hunter, you'll know that if it wasn't through his research, his opinions were often heard clearly and loudly. Dr. Hansfield has also, however, played very important roles in terms of his educational contributions, his mentoring, and his service, and I will talk about those in combination. I think one of the things that we forget, even when we ask Dr. Hansfield to think about his contributions that he forgot, is that Hunter, working at the University of Washington, provided the model for public health academic partnerships for STD research and control. the STD control program at Seattle King County Health Department, in combination with the University of Washington, has served as a model for health departments across the United States. Many of us who trained with Dr. Hansfield have tried to employ variations on this model, and many others aspire to do it. Fundamental to this model was the idea that the relationship between public health and academic research was a win-win, that both sides could benefit from this, and that patients benefit. And certainly, while I was at the University of Washington and as an investigator myself, I really believe in this, because it's the places that have these kinds of partnerships where the patients attending those STD clinics are the first people to be treated with new and emerging therapies. They're the first people to have the benefits of new diagnostic tests. They're the first people to have new systematic approaches to how STD is controlled. The Seattle King County Health Department STD Clinic, under Hunter's leadership, also was both a model and a training ground for programs and for personal immunization. I think of a number of us who are in the audience who trained with Dr. Hansfield. Dr. Virginia Kane of the Indianapolis Health Department was one of Hunter's first fellows and benefited greatly, and I presume, although I didn't ask her exactly in this way, that much of what she continues to do in leading that health department had some of its basis in Hunter's mentorship. Dr. Matt Golden, who directs the Seattle King County STD Clinic at present. Dr. Ann Rampallo and her important role in Baltimore City and Jefferson County. Myself and others. But there are others, many of us, have had our lives touched by Dr. Hansfield and his mentorship and contributions. Service is also a part of what we do, and Dr. Hansfield has had an impactful career there. He led the group who wrote the IDSA guidelines for evaluation of new STD therapies, and those guidelines are still the hallmarks which guide the FDA in consideration what sort of benchmarks need to be approved or approached in order to consider new therapies for STD. He served on two separate occasions as a visiting scientist here at CDC, and in those activities he was fundamental in sort of moving both programs on expedited partner therapy ahead, and also on organizing and helping to think our national approaches to herpes infections, and specifically neonatal herpes prevention. He's also played an important role in the International Society for STD Research, being on their board of directors between 1992 and 1999, being on their board of directors and organizer of the Seattle meeting in 2007. In the 90s, Dr. Hansfield, with his colleague Dr. Jorma Pavonen, organized an ISTDR meeting, which was very successful. Can you hit there? And this is Dr. Pavonen with this. But, you know, in organizing these meetings, and Hunter knows what picture he's about to see now, we have to expose ourselves to other things, too. And so Dr. Hansfield has always shown himself to be open to new experiences and cultural events. Evan, Hunter will explain that stuff to you a little later, okay? Hunter is also a model for many of us, and something that I think we perhaps don't always pay enough attention to, and that has to do with personal balance. Because for all of his many contributions and all of his work, Hunter is really a complete person. His family is very important to him. He has a wonderful partnership with his wife, Patricia, and he has lots of outside activities. Many of us have seen pictures of Hunter as he has organized raft trips, which many of these people in this room have participated in, if not, or heard about. We also know that Hunter is an avid recreational pilot, but that recreational piloting goes beyond recreation and personal pleasure. He also participates in an organization of pilots who help to fly patients and patients' families who are in need around the Pacific Northwest in the airplane that he owns. And he, of course, brings his family into play here. This is a picture of Hunter and his grandson, who's here in the front row, Evan, with Hunter's plane, because they use this plane recreationally for camping trips and other transport as well. And finally, Hunter and Patricia have recently had the opportunity to spend more and more time at their condominium in Hawaii, again, sort of demonstrating that all the time that we are feeling Hunter's presence through his input, through his suggestions, and through his leadership, he's also finding the time and the balance that all of us need to prioritize is important. So I present to you Dr. Hunter Hansfield, this year's recipient of the Thomas Perrin Award for his achievements in terms of scientific achievement, his education and mentoring, which so many of us have benefited from his service to the field of public health and for his public health. Hunter, thanks for all that you do. I can't think of a more deserving recipient.